Ryan, please join us.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here with you this morning. Good to see so many familiar faces looking as great as ever. I think most of you know me. Maybe some of you don't know me. You're blessed. I hope you feel blessed by the end of the time that we have with us this morning as well. For those that aren't familiar, I used to be the youth pastor here. This is where I started my faith journey with walking with Jesus. So back in the late 90s, mid to late 90s. So God has taken myself and June and our family on a massive journey, and we're now in Peterborough. That's where I lead a church called Breton Baptist Church, and been there 5.5 years, got there just before COVID, and then they shut the doors on us. Thought he's not coming back into this building, but that didn't stop me. We grew strong from COVID, and we didn't, obviously we suffered like most people. It's very unfamiliar territory for me. I'm a people's person. I like to get, I like people face to face rather than a screen. It was awful videoing me or being videoed and sitting my hair and going, oh my goodness me. So it took hours and hours of takes before I could actually deliver a message. So as we started to, the rules were released, relaxed a bit, we started to grow and got back into the swing of things. And we're very, very blessed to have quite an active church and a very lively church. And it's great that God can do absolutely amazing things with the meager that we have. He does mighty things. And whatever we bring to him, however small it is, God can make something massive out of it. So never underestimate what God can do. Thank you for the invitation of inviting me back. I was really pleased and encouraged that I had an invitation to come back and preach, and on that wonderful subject about being a prophetic community. I don't know what everybody's journey of faith is, and I'm probably not going to get a chance. You're going to hear more about me than I'm going to get to know about you. But one of my first memories of witnessing Jesus didn't go well at all. In fact, the first time when I became a follower of Jesus through the community here at Wells Street United Church, I realized I was a Christian. I said, I came to Terry Chaka. Remember Terry Chaka and Helen Gridley? Yeah. I came to them and I said, I want to give my life to Jesus. And they said, have you prayed the prayer? I said, I've prayed the prayer. And they said, okay, well, welcome. I thought, is that it? I'm expecting like a fanfare of enlightenment and revelation and God's thumb finger coming down on me. It's you, Brian. That never happened. That never happened. So I was quite disappointed with God at that time. But anyway, I carried on and I thought, right, I want to tell people that I love Jesus. And I rang my dad up. I said, Dad, he's not a believer. And I said, Dad, I've become a Christian. And there was a pause on the phone. He didn't know what to say. And he said, lovely. And I was like buzzing like mad, and I've calmed down since then. I was buzzing, and the conversation just didn't go anywhere. So I thought, okay, I'll ring my best mate Dave up. Dave, I haven't spoken to him for years. I'll ring Dave up and tell him about Jesus, because my dad didn't want to know anything about Jesus. And then until recently, I'll tell you that later. And I rung up Dave, said, Dave, guess what? He goes, what? I said, I've become a Christian. He went, oh. Wow. So I got deflated. I'm thinking, that's two people I'm trying to witness to and they don't want to know Jesus. So I thought, I'd ring up some Christians that were praying for me, and they were in America. They were our neighbours once upon a time, and I rang them up and they were like, yeah, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, oh, thank God. And that was good, and I felt really good. Next time, my failed attempt to witness Jesus was when I was coming out of work. I used to be a milkman. Most of you know that I was a milkman. And I'm coming out the dairy at 8 o'clock in the morning, or whatever time it was, getting into my car, a car that Terry Chaka blessed me with. And on that car, it said, thank God for Jesus, a little sticker saying, thank God for Jesus. And I'm just about getting in my car, and it's a couple of guys sort of in another unit across the road sort of looking at me. And for those that don't know me, I come from a challenging background where you don't just look at people for no reason. If you look at somebody, expect some interaction. okay? Some quite animated interaction with some choice language, okay? And I can see, feel these guys looking at me as I'm getting in my car, and I'm thinking, they're winding me up. And I thought, what are they looking at? So I said, you're right, guys. And they said, yeah, that on your car. Do you believe in that? I said, yeah, why? You got a problem with that? And they were like, no, it's all right. So that was another failed attempt of witnessing Jesus. So I haven't got a good track record on witnessing Jesus, but we are called to be a prophetic community. We are, by virtue, a prophetic community because we believe in Jesus Christ. So this subject, being a prophetic community, it should be something that we drink on a daily basis. It's a supernatural connection that it becomes natural. So we have this natural, supernatural ability to be a prophetic community. And that's why I chose Psalm 19 and 1 Corinthians 14, which is a typical passage about everyone, Paul says, should be a prophetic people. I wish everybody had the gift of prophecy. What do we have? It's whether we're using it. So, but let's pause for a minute and think about what is prophecy. I've got it up on the screen. Next slide. It says the ability to speak the message of God to others. This sometimes involves foresight or visions of what is to come. This skill should be used only to offer encouragement and warning. So that's the definition of prophecy in a very brief two sentences, okay? You and I have that. And the reason why I chose Psalm 19 is because the first section, 1 to 6, speaks about God's soundless voice. Now, Eugene Peterson puts it beautifully like this. So we'll go over verses 1 to 6 very briefly from the Message Bible. God's glory is on tour in the skies. Isn't that beautiful? God craft on exhibit across the horizon. Madame Day holds classes every morning. Professor Knight lectures each evening. Verses 3 to 4a, their words aren't heard, their voices aren't recorded, but their silence fills the earth. Unspoken truth is spoken everywhere. God makes a huge dome for the sun, a super dome. The morning sun's a new husband, leaping from his honeymoon bed. The day-breaking sun, an athlete racing to the tape. That's how God's word vaults across the skies from sunrise to sunset, melting ice, scorching deserts, warming hearts to faith. It's that beautiful poetry approach to God's silent voice can be heard in every single... We wake up in the morning with God's voice beaming into our lives in a silent way. You've heard, hands up if you've heard the silent revival. You've not heard about silent revival? Come on. The quiet revival. The quiet, silent, you probably haven't heard of it because it's quiet. but it's, young people are walking into church. I was speaking to a friend of mine from another church. We live in a place called Breton. It's a township of about 13,000 people, and there's three main churches. There's Breton Baptist Church, and there's the Holy Spirit Church, which is an Anglican church, and then there's an Elim Church, which is Wellspring Church. and they're the main churches. We meet together and pray together and stuff. And I was, one Sunday when we don't obviously shop and do all that stuff, I was shopping in Sainsbury's, and I met a guy from the Holy Spirit Church, and we're chatting away, and I said, give us some good news. What's been going on in your church? It's three young people walked into church last Sunday, just walked in and wanted to hear the gospel. We're seeing people in our church just walking in. We're not doing much. Well, we do evangelism. We go out on the streets once a month, and we go out in a pub weekly, and we do lots of stuff. But people are walking into church with no effort of our own. God is bringing people, and the silent revival is happening all over the world. Young people, Gen Z particularly, are coming to faith. It's not just a generation thing. There are people exploring faith. Since COVID, it has opened up a spiritual vacuum where people are going, I want more. This must be more than this. And so God is already prophetically speaking into, he's been doing it ever since the dawn of time, ever since he created the universe. But this passage reminds us that God doesn't need us because he's prophetic himself by virtue of him being a creator, and everything exists within God. So God, you know, I don't know about you, I love walking. I got dogs and I walk my dogs every day. And I love just walking through the woods, walking, and just the trees are like walls and shelter. You know, you look around the skies, it's just absolutely awesome. And we did nothing to contribute to this. We're making a mess of it, obviously, because that's what we do. You know, God does something great and we get in the way often. But God still involves us. He still invites us to be part of what he's doing. So this Psalm 19 has two parts, verses 1 to 6, next slide, being a prophetic people. All followers of Jesus are prophetic people, meaning we've got good news. But sometimes we forget what that good news is. We complicate it. We make it so difficult sometimes that we wonder why people aren't coming to faith. If I can't see people coming to faith in the ministries that I'm involved in, I'm concerned that I'm focusing in the wrong direction. And as pastors, we can focus in the wrong direction, you know, because we get bogged down with churchy stuff. So I try to build an infrastructure in my church that other people deal with that. And if they pass stuff on to me, I do it so badly, they say, oh, heck, Brian, you're rubbish at that. Yeah, I am, really. We'll do it. Oh, praise the Lord. So in our church, I've got 6 M's. It's quite a big church. It's about 250 people. And I've got 6 departments. And on each of those departments, they all begin with M, funny enough. Because the way my brain works, I know simple literation. And so they're all 6 M's. Members, ministry, mission, in this order. Members, ministry, mission, management, maintenance, and money. Okay, so that, yeah, you like that? Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Hey, from a teacher, I take that. Thank you very much, Mrs. Hanley. I'm really encouraged to get your approval. And on each of those teams, sits 5 to 6 people. And they deal with all that stuff. And I say, thank you, just send me a report in. And I'll bring it to the, we don't have elders, we have leadership team and trustees. And they feed that in. And if they really need me, they'll call me. And if I can't sort it out, they'll find someone else. So it's praise. I only sit on 2 of those teams. And I'm very delighted. And that's ministry and members. The other stuff I do dip into them for various reasons, but they're the main 2 that I sit on because I'm passionate about pastoral ministry and I'm passionate about ministry in terms of getting the word out there and seeing people grow in faith. Our vision is to grow disciples. It's not complicated. Grow from where you are, making whole life missional discipleship makers. Anyway, so followers of Jesus are prophetic people. We need to know, are we making the good news accessible? We'll come back to that. And the second part of that passage is 7 to 14, verses 7 to 14, is the gift of prophecy. The gift, we have the written word. We have the spoken word through us. So the first part, God creates the universe and he prophetically is speaking to us every single day. You can look at absolutely anything in the world and God has given you a message, right? So the challenge for you from here after today is when you go into the world, into the scattered places, I call this the gathered spaces, and I call the where we do church, the scattered places where we live and work and socialize. And look for God's unspoken voice and listen, and God is speaking. There's not a moment, there's not a second or split second in your life that God is not speaking to you. He's always speaking to you in the unspoken, silent voice of creation. But the church won't grow on that basis alone. It'll grow on the word being shared, and that's where we come into play, the spoken word. The gift of prophecy. We have this gift, this prophetic gift, to pass on to all people. We have the knowledge of God. We have something of the... I don't know enough about God. I don't know about you, but the more I look into the Bible, the more I realize I don't know. It's a bit like education. It's a bit like knowledge. The more information, the more you get to learn, the more you realise you don't know. And the same with the Bible, same with God. You can't get enough of God. You can get enough of each other, and you'll get enough of me by the time I'm finished. But, you know, there's a part that God has got so much more for each and every one of us. And he's got so much more for your neighbour. I'll come back to that in a minute. So the good news, the gospel simply told. Here's a couple of examples that we use in our church. Next slide. God made it. We broke it. Who's fixing it? Jesus. Jesus, the old Sunday school answer. Jesus is king. He's fixing it. And if we have allowed the unleashing of the prophetic word that we once got when we realized that Jesus is our Lord, if we allow that to grow, it will just grow in exponential ways that you and I could never have imagined. There was this guy who got converted to from Islam to Christianity. And really sad story, but a really powerful story and a good news story. So there's always bad news before there's good news. You know, the greatest evil in the world was the crucifixion. But the greatest good in the world was the resurrection. And you can't have a resurrection without a death. God does this amazing thing out of the worst situation. He can bring the most beautiful thing in the world. Anyway, this guy, he got converted to Christianity, a young Muslim guy. He didn't go to any theological school or anything like that. He gave his life to Jesus, and his uncle found out, and his uncle was not happy being a Muslim. So he kidnapped him. This is a true story. And he took him to a warehouse, and he stripped him naked, and he tied him his legs up, and he tied his hands up, and he suspended him from a roof rafter. And every day he would lower him and beat him. The uncle vowed, I will beat this new religion out of you. I will beat it out of you. So every day for 64 days, he's battering him, beating him, wouldn't let him off. He had to go to the toilet in that way. He was fed while he was down. So piles of, yeah, you can imagine, feces were all over the floor, and every day he was lowered into this. And on the 64th day, something different happened. The uncle lowered him down and beat him and all that kind of stuff, and then went out of the building, and the guy, the young convert, and just said, Jesus, I just want to be clean. Jesus, I just want to be clean. And a cow comes in from outside and licks him clean. This is a true story. Licks him completely clean, the blood and the excrement, all from him. The uncle walks in after the cow had done this. He was absolutely, who's done this? Who's cleaned him up? What's happened here? Tell me. And the young man says, Uncle, while you were out, I prayed to Jesus. I just want to be clean. And Jesus brought in a cow, one of your cows, who cleaned me completely. And the uncle was like, whoa, I can't beat this religion out of you. And all he was saying, I want to be clean. Now, sometimes we overcomplicate things, and we just got to ask Jesus for the one thing. If you're struggling with being able to be a prophetic person, a prophetic community, it's better when it's done in community. Every week in our church, we get somebody up to share a good news story. Every single week, not a week goes by where we don't get somebody to share a good news story, because it's about the community sharing with one another what God is doing in our lives throughout the week. I've got stacks of testimonies. I can't squeeze them all in because I've got so many. And we've got to keep the good news at the forefront of everything that's happening. Another one up there, you see that Jesus loves, Jesus lives, Jesus forgives, Jesus saves. It's really simple. Opens up a conversation. Keep the gospel simple. I can't remember who quoted this, but somebody quoted, the new sophistication is simplicity. You know, the world is complicated. We complicate ourselves as well as life. You know, I started training myself. When I was at Well Street, I started training myself on how to get better at being a prophetic person, okay? So you know, I signed up to these cold calling. Don't do it if you get sucked into buying stuff, right? I didn't have no money at all at the time, so I couldn't have signed up to anything, so I was quite safe. And I decided, I'm going to witness Jesus to these people on the cold calling. Well done, thank you. And one Christmas, we had some friends round for Christmas, and I got this phone call about insurance. And I said, I want to talk to you about life insurance. I said, 1 second. I said, I bet you cannot offer the life insurance that I've got. I've got the best life insurance that you could not top. And she was really intrigued. Tell me more about it. I said, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. You wouldn't believe me. So I kept this carrot dangling. And in the end, she said, tell me, who is it with? I said, well, sit back. Settle yourself down. And I told her the gospel. I said, Jesus saved me. And I went on to tell the story in a very bad way. And 15 minutes later, she's asking questions. And I've got guests sitting in our house. And I'm thinking, look, you know, it's really lovely to be able to share the gospel with you. And I hope and pray it's really meant something to you. I'd encourage you to go. She lived in Scotland. And she had two children. I learned a lot about her. And I said, you need to find a church local to you. There's going to be a good church by you. And I said, I've got to go because I've got friends around. And that was that. So I learned through cold calling how to be able to turn a conversation round about the gospel. That either causes people to be drawn to you or causes people to keep a distance from you. I'll leave you to work that one out. One of our greatest projects in our church is Breton, the Cooper's Arms. The next slide, Cooper's Arms. We go in there and we do a Bible study in the pub. They've let us use the pub. They reserve a table for us, and I lead it. About 50% of the time, and it's got a combination of very young believers and non-believers, and it's only about half a dozen to a dozen people at any one time, but it's just enough to be in the scattered places, in the everyday places, to bring the voice of the prophetic word of God in a way that just allows people to hear, and. I'm not always reserved. I can be quite animated at times. And I'm being very reserved today. And people are listening and people are interested. In fact, what we've had is people at work, they say, oh, could you pray for my family? We're going through this problem. And we're praying for their family. We say, come in, we're going to pray right here, right now. Because when they say, can you pray? They mean, when you go and do your prayer thing, you know, go and do, chuck us in there somewhere. We go, come here, we're going to pray for you right here, right now. I was once jogging. I used to jog, believe it or not. I know it's hard to believe. But I was jogging, and I was ministering to this guy who was popping into church, about same sort of age as me. And I'm jogging, and we bump into each other jogging. He goes, Brian, this gospel stuff, and we're talking about this gospel stuff, and he goes, can we pray now? So we're praying in the middle of the street in the morning, just pray anytime, any place, anywhere. Be ready to share the gospel. I tell you, I'm not a great evangelist. I've been told I've got the gift of evangelism. I believe I have, but I'm not called to be an evangelist. I'm called to be a local pastor, community pastor. And I don't like going up to people, but I encourage street evangelism. So I've got a team of people that we work with that do that. And the last time we went, we had a T-shirt that just said, how can I pray for you today? And we had somebody on the keys doing all the Holy Spirit stuff, you know, and the Holy Spirit gets whipped up on that, doesn't he? And we were singing, and people were coming up and approaching us. We didn't approach one single person. We had people coming out of their shops. What is this beautiful music? Only about five of us were singing. Obviously, I've got a brilliant singing voice. God has blessed me with a beautiful voice, but he just hasn't blessed everybody with perfect hearing. You know, that's not my fault. That's between you and God. And we're singing along, and people are coming up, and they're paying us. Can you play this song? I'll give you a tenner. Only a tenner. But they wanted to pay us, and people coming out of their shops and saying, have you got leaflets? Can we hand out leaflets? And we have these little leaflets. It says on the gospel on one side, which is God made it, we broke it, Jesus is fixing it. And on the other side, we've got the list of churches in our community, because we're not going out there to get people to come to our church. We're getting people to come to the kingdom of heaven. The good news is not that we're going to heaven. What is the good news? The good news is this. Jesus has come. That's the good news. Not that one day we're going to go to this wonderful eternal... Yeah, we are. We know that. the new heaven and new earth will come. The good news is Jesus has come. He's here right now. That's the good news. The second part of the good news is he's shown us a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven right here, right now. That's the good news. The good news is Jesus has come and he will come and live with you. All you've got to do is say, I welcome you and I repent of my sins. It's not complicated. And he will live with you and he will do things with you that you could never imagine by your permission. Not by force or coercing. By your permission. He won't persuade you. He won't force you. He will just bless you beyond your wildest imaginations. So I don't like approaching. That's not my style of street evangelism. What I do is I wear T-shirts. This is my way of sharing the good news and provoking conversations. So I don't know if you can read that. Who can read that? Who can read that? It says, I may not be perfect, but Jesus thinks I'm worth dying for those that can't see that one. Okay, so I wear T-shirts like this, and don't want to burn myself just yet. And I let that be the silent, the unspoken word of God. I love this one. This gets a bit of attention as well. Being a Christian is not easy, but the retirement plan is amazing. Okay? Okay, so sorry, I hope this isn't too sacred, this table. I do often get myself into trouble with sacred tables and furniture, so I do apologise if that's offending anybody. I don't mean to. Connecting with God, this one, there we go. Connect to God, the password is prayer. Most days I wear a T-shirt. My two favourite ones, the one with the mobile phone, Jesus is calling, I've got that one as well. That, when I go on holiday, I wear that T-shirt and I see more testimony moments than ever before. I've never had such a great witness of that T-shirt. It says, a red button, green button, Jesus calling, accept or decline. And I get people coming up and touching me. Well, that's a bit weird, isn't it? Yeah. Steady on, pal. Steady on, my geezer, right? We'll do all that. We do a hug. We do that. Yay! And that sort of stuff. But we don't touch each other's boobs, you know? That's just really weird. And that's one of my popular ones. You're probably wondering, what T-shirt am I wearing today? This is for you, Peter. Peter the runner. Okay? Peter the 72 years old and he's still running. Right? This is for you, Peter. Okay? I know you want to see me undress, really, don't you? That's what it is. I'm only getting down to my T-shirt. Can you read that, Peter? There we go.
Wanted to go jogging.
Yeah.
Proverbs 28:1.
When somebody's chasing them. Yes, indeed. Some Christmas presents. Christmas is coming. You know, there's never a moment God doesn't create for us to be prophetic. It's not complicated. It's quite straightforward. God's voice is constantly upon us. David's message through Psalm 19 is simple but profound. God made us and everything about us reflects his beauty, his power and his majesty. Contemplating the heat of the sun from which nothing is hidden, David compares it to the bridegroom or a powerful athlete running with joy across the sky each day at God's command. You know, it's great for us to gather together. It's great for us to be ready. This is what this is for. Gathering together is being ready to go into the scattered places because that's where the church is. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are the local church in your community, wherever you live. And I'll finish with one story because I can see time's racing by. I was outside washing my car one day in our neighbourhood. We live in a cul-de-sac with about six houses. And somebody moved in about 2 years ago. When they moved in, I said, oh, we must catch up sometime and have a drink and all that kind of jazz. And I said, yeah. And I'm out cleaning my car and my dogs are out the front with me. And this neighbour comes up to me and says, Brian, you said 2 years ago we would catch up and have a drink. He goes, can we have that drink now? I said, yeah, I'll just go and put the kettle on. No, I promise. proper drink. It's all right, I'll go and get a couple of buds out of the garage. No, a proper drink. I think, what, are we having a party? What's going on here? I said, what do you mean by proper drink? I'll get some vodka. I can't stand that stuff. And I thought, okay, whatever, yeah. I said, well, we can do a disco. No, a vodka. I said, all right. So he's on the phone. I thought, what's he on the phone for? Is he doing vodka? Well, are you talking to me or are you talking to your friend on the phone? That's very, very rude, isn't it? And anyway, a moped turns up with a delivery bottle of vodka, right? And in between this, he's stumbled over. So he's obviously had a few already. He's gone ahead of me, and he's nearly trodden on one of my dogs that nearly attacked him. So it's a bit pandemonium moment. So I get a chair out of the garage, says, sit yourself down. And he gets his vodka. I said, look, I really don't like vodka. Please, I said, I'll have a water, you have a vodka. And I'm sitting there with him. I said, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he's a little bit, he's not totally drunk, but he's just a little bit over the edge. And he goes, yeah, I go to church every Sunday. And he told me what church and stuff. I said, so why are you doing this? Why are you drinking like this? He said, oh, my job. My job's really hard. So tell me about your job. And he's a top surgeon. I wouldn't want him touching me, right? So, well, I'm glad I don't feel like I need surgery at the moment. And he goes, I'm a surgeon in Peterborough Hospital. And Peterborough City Hospital. And I said, oh, okay. I said, so why are you drinking? I said, my job's really tough. I said, can't you talk to somebody at church? Can't you talk to your pastor? He goes, oh, no. I said, I don't know what to do. I said, how long have you been drinking like this? He goes, 5 years. I said, now tell me the truth. How long have you been drinking like this? I can't remember. I said, have you ever been filled with the Holy Spirit? He said, the what? I thought, whoa, you go to church and you're not being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, filling, bear in mind, I don't mean that you get all shaky and all, you know, and you lose all rationality, but that's not being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's an experience, that's an encounter, maybe a one-off encounter, but a life-transforming encounter is being filled with the Holy Spirit and working that out daily and growing in that. And he goes, no, I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. And I said, look, you need prayer to receive the Holy Spirit. I said, but I can't do that right now because you're drunk. And I said, that would be abuse from my side, spiritual abuse, and I'm not willing to do that. I said, I'll do it another time. He goes, will you come to my house tomorrow night? I said, yeah, okay, I'll come to your house tomorrow night, as long as you don't drink, get sober, and I'll be there. And literally, three doors away from me. So I go there that night after whatever else I was doing, and that was a Sunday night. And I walked in the house. He's got his family there. They're all there. I'm thinking, oh, okay, this is interesting. Am I going to be ambushed or something? Because they come from a different part of the world. And I thought, oh, maybe I've walked into a bit of a trap here. Maybe he's pretending to be a Christian and I'm going to get nabbed. And but no, it wasn't. He goes, look, I want you to pray for my whole family. Now, here I am praying for his whole family to receive the Holy Spirit. Nothing clever. I just prayed. I just asked them, are you serious about wanting the Holy Spirit? Yes, they said, we want the Holy Spirit. So I prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit. And they received it. Him, not it. You know, we've just got to be out there. We've just got to be ready. How do you get ready? You just love Jesus. You draw closer to Jesus. You become more like him. And you do what he does. It's not about whether you feel you've got the gift or not. Just be obedient. I don't think I'm great at evangelism. I've got the gift of evangelism. I'm not called to be an evangelist, but I can't wait to share the gospel. Am I always ready? No, I screw up sometimes. My dad said to me at Christmas, he said, Brian, what got you into all of this? And I shared with him the gospel, and afterwards I thought, that was rubbish, Brian. You could have done a lot better than that. But that's it. Now I'm thinking, should I write to him? Should I go and visit him and try to do it? Should I try and patch my mess up? I don't get it right often. But when it gets right, when it connects, wow, it's beautiful. Just recently baptized a 75-year-old man who was from an army background, said, no, I'm never coming into church. We're baptizing 5 people in the next few weeks who have just come to know Jesus. You know, people are hungry. People are thirsty. Your neighbor needs Jesus. Your work colleague needs Jesus. You need Jesus. I need Jesus more than I did when I woke up this morning. I need him more. If you feel you want more of Jesus, then just keep yourself open and you'll see prophetic miracles and signs and wonders take place right where you are. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you that your unspoken word can be heard from all over the world, wherever we are, to whomever we come into contact with. Your word speaks from the skies, from the plants, from the colours, from creation. And Lord, we just bury it with concrete jungles and we wonder where you are. You're here, right now. We block it out with skyscrapers and you're breaking through all the time. You never let go. You will never give up on us. You will always make a way for us to receive you. And Lord, thousands of years later, we have the written word and we can speak your written word. And on top of that, we have this divine connection through the power of the Holy Spirit to receive your word, that which man cannot interpret, that which humans have not got the capacity or the vocabulary to be able to communicate. The Holy Spirit can speak straight into our lives and reveal to us the secrets of heaven. You don't need us, but you invite us to be a part of it. Your redeeming plan to the world. Prepare us to be sent out, Lord, to be obedient to your word and to love like you love, to meet people right where they are, but to love them too much to leave them that way. Guide us, we pray, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.